And let us now, congregation, open the Word of God and read thereof Psalm 145. The scripture reading is from the book of Psalms, and we read Psalm 145. And there we read God's holy word. David's psalm of praise. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name for ever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry, and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name for ever and ever. So far, the reading of God's Word. For our text, congregation, we turn to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44, and we look at the first part of verse 22. Verse 22. The first words where we read, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. So far. The Lord says in his word, congregation, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. And this text, like so many other texts in Scripture, sets out before us the miracle of the forgiveness of sins. That Jesus, as the substitute, takes the sins of all his own upon himself, and that the Lord Jesus brings a full satisfaction for all their sins. And the Lord Jesus did this with delight. And it's because of his sufficient payment that the Lord's Supper may be administered this morning again. And you, God's people, as you are at the supper, you may meditate upon this miracle. What the Lord says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. And there you, God's people, you may confess with the words of the form that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, and that He hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of Him the bloody sweat in the garden where He was bound, that we might be freed from our sins, that He afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that He was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that He suffered His blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of Him. And this is all summarized in the forgiveness of sins. What we find revealed this morning at the Lord's Supper, broken bread, poured out wine, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. That is the seal the Lord gives here at the supper. He blots out, and He has blotted out the sins of all the believers, of all those who have only one hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, of those who have no righteousness in themselves, who need the Lord Jesus as their only righteousness, as their Lord, as their Savior. The Lord seals to them that their sins are removed. And the text speaks about blotted out. I have blotted out. Now, at times that term in Scripture is referred to a stain, the blotting out of a stain, what we could sing from Psalter 143 and Psalm 51, that according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. In Psalm 51 verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. It's like a stain that is rubbed out, removed. But then you can also find in Scripture that that term blotting out also refers to blotting out something written down in a testimony or in a book. For instance, Exodus 32, verse 32, yet now, says Moses, if thou wilt forgive their sins, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Or we also find in Colossians 2, 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. The Lord has blotted out everything that stood in the way between Himself and His people, the handwriting of ordinances that accused us. It's blotting out. But here in our text, we see a different use of that blotting out, and then the Lord refers it to clouds, the removing of clouds. That just as the wind can cause clouds in the sky to be scattered, that you only see a blue sky left, that's how the Lord says that He will remove the sins of His people. He has blotted them out. And apparently in the Middle East that could happen quite soon, quite often, that the sky filled with clouds. But when the wind came up, that it would blow away all those clouds. That is, the Lord says, that is how I have blotted out your sins as a cloud. We could think of an illustration that we kind of more accustomed to, that in the morning clouds, like a mist that can hang upon the land, and as the sun rises, it causes that mist, those low-hanging clouds, to evaporate, and a beautiful sky comes forth. That's the illustration. I've blotted out thy sins like a cloud. And if you look at the text, you see there are two times references made to clouds. But the first time the word refers to heavy clouds. And the second word, that's for more normal appearing clouds. But regardless of what clouds they are, heavy clouds or lighter clouds, the Lord removes them all. And likewise, the sins of God's people, the large ones, the great ones, the ones that weigh upon them, and the ones that doesn't weigh upon them, the ones that they've even forgotten, which they consider to be lesser, the Lord has covered them and blotted them all out. Regardless of what clouds there can be. And there can be various clouds. Clouds, they hang always between heaven and earth. And they hinder a proper view. And likewise, sin in all its various shapes and forms hangs between the Lord and people. And blocks out communion with Him. Clouds can also be heavy. And they can be forebodings of severe storms. You see black, heavy clouds in the sky. You know, a storm is coming. And likewise, sins can be hanging upon our lives. It can be dark sins. It can be to a convicted soul the forebodings of the storm of God's judgments. And clouds can give heavy rains. Because of our sins, there can be an outpouring of wrath, God's wrath. That's what we all deserve. But here the Lord says, the thick clouds and the clouds of your transgressions and of your sins, I have blotted them out, the Lord says to His people. Clouds are scattered. They are non-existent. Transgressions, sins, they're blotted out. They're not imputed to His people anymore. It's a radical, it's a real removal accomplished by divine grace. And we know how that's possible. Because of Christ Jesus. Because of His blood. Because of His obedience. And the sins of His people are no longer imputed to them. It's like we find in Jeremiah 50 verse 20. In that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. And who seeks those sins then? The sins shall be sought for. The devil, the accuser of the brethren, he wants to hammer on God's people with the sins they have committed. And God's people themselves remembering their sins. But the Lord says the iniquity shall not be found, no longer resting upon them, free, delivered. And therefore Isaiah 44 says in the next text, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified Himself in Israel. The text speaks God's grace and mercy in blotting out sin. And is this not the content of God's Word? Is sin not the big trouble of all of us? Or are your eyes still closed to it? Have you no sins? Do they not burden you? Have you not become awakened yet for the reality of your dismal situation if you are without Christ? You are a sinner. You are liable to all the wrath of God. And sin will cause punishment, either upon the Lord Jesus imputed to you, or upon you yourself. Sin is man's problem. Genesis 6 verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And nothing has improved in mankind since Genesis 6. That's our problem. Our imaginations are evil continually. That's what comes forth from our natural heart. And if this would be the end, then all our lives would be concluded in doom and darkness. But God's Word comes to us proclaiming mercy, proclaiming salvation, that there is a God in heaven who blots out sins and transgressions as clouds. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, from Genesis 3 to Revelation 22, you can find this offer of God's mercy, of God's grace. And for whom is this grace reality then? For those who have the Lord Jesus as their share, as their portion, as their delight. And how great then your sins may be, greater is the grace and mercy of God revealed in Christ Jesus for you. Remission of sins is the gracious act of God in and through Christ, discharging a believing sinner from all the guilt and punishment of his sin, both temporal and eternal. He is set free. Remission. Gracious act of God, made possible by the blood of Christ. This blood was perfect. This blood was untainted. This blood was innocent. He was a lamb without spot. This precious blood, the blood of the infinite worth and value. It was the blood of God. Acts 20 verse 28, the church of God, which God hath purchased with his own blood. This blood prepared by God's eternal plan. It's not only innocent blood, it's precious blood, it's prepared blood, but it's shed blood. It's sacrificed, it's done, it's paid for on Calvary. It was paid for you, child of God, and was applied to you in the way of faith through the Holy Spirit. And this remission of sins is the privilege, the joy, the delight of all believers. The love of God is the source of this pardon. This pardon flows forth from the love of God, and the blood of Christ is the meriting cause of this pardon. He earned it by his death. And saving faith is the instrumental cause of pardon. And these three work together, the love of God, the blood of Christ, and the applicatory work of God's Spirit working faith. And the triune God undergirds the salvation, the remission of sins of all God's people. What we could never do, God did. Who of us can blow away the clouds? Who of us can deliver himself from sin? that here is God who declares, signs, signifies and seals, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy sins. You see, what we cannot do, God did in His Son. And when He washes you, those dark clouds are gone, never more to be imputed to you. Oh, it's such a blessed theme, the remission of sins. It's indescribable. It's inexhaustible. We can continue to talk about it year after year, even through all eternity, the redeemed in heaven. We'll speak about that Thou hast redeemed us unto God by Thy blood. Which tongue can explain the splendors of the pardoning mercy of God? Who can explain the implications of remission of sin? People of God, you understand this. You have been convicted by God's Spirit. You find no righteousness in yourself. And at times you're weary of yourself because that source of sin that still lives in you, you hate it, you detest it, you resist it. And you flee daily to this fountain set up for all sin and uncleanness. And you know of His love, of His peace, of His forgiving grace. And you know how you could never remove those clouds from you, that you could not even come to the Lord. You needed the Lord to draw you to Him. And look, here He is, He who has applied grace to your heart. He is the captain of your salvation. He gave Himself for you. He blotted out your sins and transgressions. And here at the supper you may see the signs and seals of His grace, that it cost Him His own blood, Himself. He did it all, that you would never be alienated from God, and that God would be forever your loving Father. Think then, as you are at the supper, think of what He has done, that He was forsaken of God, so that you would never be forsaken of God, that He was smitten and punished, so that you would not be punished. Oh, think of the fullness of grace that He did. The Lord Jesus did not have to do it. He did it out of free love. And now He seals, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy sins. And who are the guests to be at the supper? Those who know of dark clouds of sin around them. You know those sins are your own fault. You put those clouds there, but you can't remove them. And you know of the One who can disperse these clouds, and you flee to Him. You need Him. The Lord Jesus has become your only hope, your only refuge. And you wish to live for none other but for Him. And you rest upon Him. At times you find peace as you look to Him. At times you sense something of His nearness. You say you have no righteousness of your own. But as you look at yourself, you are filled with doubts. Because you say, I have not experienced what other people say they have experienced. I need to experience more in my life, you say. And there are also these backslidings in your life. And that gives you shame and grief. And you detest these backslidings. At times you feel you're in a faraway country and you cannot return. Sometimes you even think you may not return because you sin so often. But hear the voice of the Lord calling you in His Word. Come unto me. The voice of the Lord calling you, mourning, grieving, backsliding child of God. There is a message for you in your faraway country, far away from the Lord. And that message from the Lord is, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. That's how the Lord comes to you. And He tells you to return to Him, to look upon His Son, and to rest only upon that finished work of the Son. And to rest upon His forgiving grace. To look at His full payment. That's the only reason why a sinner may be at the supper. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. For we don't come to this supper because of our faithfulness. For we are unfaithful. We don't come because of our righteousness. For we have none. We come because of His full payment, because my need of Him, because He is my everything, and I wish to live only with and for Him. And then resting upon Him, you may come and eat and drink and be comforted by these signs and seals. And listen, you hear a voice speaking from this bread and from this wine. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Amen.